Malachim Beis Perachov Dalad Pasuk Dalad, finishing up the terrible reign of Jehoiakim, son of Yoshiyahu. It is one of the great tragedies in Jewish life that very righteous men often seem to have children who are nowhere near worthy of the legacy of their illustrious fathers. And so David HaMelech has all kinds of problems with the kinder. Avshalom, Amnon the rapist, Adoniyahu the usurper, Chizkiyahu HaMelech with his son Menashe, and now Yoshiyahu HaMelech with his sons Yehoachaz. Yehoiachin's next. I'm mixing up my Yehos. Yehoachaz, and then now Yehoiakim. V'gam dam hanoki asher shofach. So of Yehoiakim, we learn not only did he follow in the terrible ways of his idol-worshipping ancestors, but also the innocent blood that he spilled. Vayimali es Yerushalayim dam noki. And Jerusalem was filled with innocent blood. V'lo avo Hashem l'sloach. And Hashem did not want to forgive. Hashem was not moved to forgive Klal Yisrael. So Menashe's corruption was rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, violation of religious laws, Avodah Zarah, but he began a period of moral and ethical decay and decline that led to Yoshiyahu mistakenly thinking that the people were on a high level when really they were on a low level. And while Yoshiyahu was alive, they were protected by his merit. Even though the divine decree to destroy Yerushalayim is quite a few years old by now, it had been made during Menashe's time. We saw one opinion that it had been made late in the time of Chizkiyahu, but that he wouldn't live to see it. But the death of innocence, it's hard to say who the subject of the pasuk is. Is it Yehoiakim himself who is responsible for the death of innocence? Could it be Menashe who was responsible for this terrible behavior? The Mefarshim are relatively silent about this. But the Mesudas David says, Achaheikal Menashe b'shvichazdam. Even murder became commonplace. And if you think, for example, about the Jewish people and Roman culture before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in Rome, bloodshed was everywhere. It was a traditional way to get ahead in Rome, was to spill the blood of your rivals, of rival families, of Caesars, assassinations, assassins for hire, romanticized in video games, but nothing like real life, where human life is meaningless in a society. And somehow Menashe had corrupted us so much that to us, human life became worthless. Lasso says, Kulam Rotzchim, as if to say that he made all of the Jewish people in Yerushalayim into murderers. Perhaps if you wanted to put a social progressive spin on it, you could say that this also has to do with the idea that the upper level of society, the upper echelons, were selling poor people and their children into slavery on a regular basis. And we'll see a story by Tzidkiyahu where a Doror was decreed, where it was decreed that there be a freedom and that all debts would be cleared, and then the Jewish wealthy people use that as an excuse to re-seize the same people as slaves again. So our own Jewish kingdom is being built on the blood of innocence. And that's a hard thing to forgive. And soon the blood of innocence will mingle with the blood of these innocents all through the city, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that we suffer a great deal of death as well. And that link is explicit in this pasuk that Hashem did not want to forgive these trespasses. Hey, v'yeser divrei Yehoiakim v'chol asher asa, Elohim k'suvim al sefer divrei hayamim l'malchei Yehuda. The remainder of the words and deeds of Yehoiakim and everything that he did, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Yehuda. V'yishkav Yehoiakim emavosav, and Yehoiakim lay with his forefathers. V'yimloch Yehoiachin b'no tachtav. And the last of the Yehos, his son Yehoiachin, So the grandson of Yoshiyahu now is going to be king in his stead. So Jehoiakim is seen as being among the worst of all the kings. So the Tanakh does not delineate all of his evil deeds. It doesn't appear here. It doesn't appear in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Even Yirmiyahu only alluded to them indirectly. He says, "Woe to the one who builds his house without righteousness and his upper stories without justice, who forces his fellow to work for nothing and doesn't give to his worker. Your eyes and your heart are only on your profit," P-R-O-F-I-T, "on spilling the blood of the innocent and doing violence." But in the various Mefarshim, the Medrash, other sources, explicitly it said that Jehoiakim had a belief not unlike many beliefs of religious and non-religious people nowadays, that maybe God created the earth, but he removed himself from the affairs of the earth once he created it. This is what Thomas Aquinas, or one of the Christian theologians, called the clockmaker theory. That God makes the clock and winds it up and lets it run by itself. And so there's no reward for tzaddikim, there's no punishment for rishayim, and the earth functions without Hashem's interference. And the only thing that comes from Hashem is the light of the sky, but there's no need to be afraid of the wrath of God, because God doesn't take an active hand in the world, according to Jehoiakim. He said, the early generations didn't antagonize God. They were afraid to make him angry. They thought they needed him. But I don't. Let him take his light away. We have, the Medrash says, shining gold to give us light. And the people said, Liyah kesef v'liyah zav, the gold belongs to God. But he answered, nope, God gave us the gold. Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem v'ares nasan l'bnei Adam. So some say he tattooed Hashem's name on his body. Some say he tattooed the name of an idol on his body. He wore shatnez. He did one of the great avlos of Klal Yisrael over the millennia, stretching out his arla so it would look like he had never been circumcised. He is cited as allegedly committing incest with his mother, his daughter-in-law, his father's wife, not even for enjoyment, but just lahachis, mamish, lahachis, to make Hashem angry. So he disgraced Hashem with his body, and his body was disgraced later. There's a Gemara that says that hundreds of years later, one of the great Chachamim of Yerushalayim found a skull near the gates of Yerushalayim, and the words written on it were Zeva'od, this and yet another. So he didn't know what to do, so he respectfully buried it because it was a human skull. But a little while later, he found it uncovered again, and then he came back and it was still uncovered. And the Chacham said, this must be the skull of Jehoiakim, because there was a prophecy that he was not worthy of burial, even if he is the burial of a donkey, he will be buried, dragged and thrown beyond the gates of Yerushalayim, a quote from the Nevi'im. So he still tried to treat it respectfully. And then there's a whole story about how his wife found it, and she threw it into the oven and eventually burned it. And her husband came home and realized that this was the final punishment of Jehoiakim, that his skull would be burned. He would be denied burial, and his remains would be burned in fire, which is a curious thing, that in our era, secularized Jews who don't know any better, choose cremation. Cremation in Chazal is a truly terrible fate. It means that your bones don't even exist, denying the loose bone if and when Mashiach comes and there's going to be Tchias HaMesim. Cremation is not a good choice to make, and it's considered to be a very sacrilegious choice or a punishment. And how do we know obliquely that this happened? Because it said, Vayishkav Yehoiakim im avosav, but it didn't say, Vayikaver im avosav. Because it doesn't say that he was buried with his forefathers, only that he lay down with his fathers. That shows us that he was denied a proper burial. So Jehoiakim is gone. Now Jehoiachin is going to be crowned in his place. And Jehoiachin isn't going to last very long either.